Mit Mastercard Business Bonus sichern Sie sich attraktive Rabatte auf Tools und Services für Ihr Unternehmen. Alle Angebote unter mastercard.com/businessbonus.
Stu does America.
Watch us for free on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica, or I don't know, pay, blazetv.com/Stu, or StuDoesAmerica.com. If you use the code, what's the code? I don't remember the code. If you use the code Stu, you get $20 off, whatever it is. Just type in things until they give you money off. Also, go to StuDoesMerch.com. There you can use the code, I think it's Stu10, to get 10% off your entire order, StuDoesMerch.com. Okay. Glenn Beck is going to be here. He's going to tell us about the return of the Great Reset. Yes! Hooray! We did it. Good job, everybody. Also, a lot of really interesting AI stuff. We'll get into him. Get into it with him here in a minute. The tolerant left is continuing to show its tolerance with its attempted attack on some of Trump's new cabinet appointees. We'll get into some of that as well. But we're going to start by doing the RFK Jr. backlash. Kind of all feeds into the same theme here today, attacks on Trump nominees. The RFK Jr. one is the highest profile, of course, of the group. But there's more going on, and it's going to be questionable whether all these nominees get through. Susan Collins is in the spotlight for Tulsi Gabbard and RFK confirmation hearing. She obviously already voted against Hegseth, who got 50 votes, needed J.D. Vance to put him over the finish line. Collins has already shown that she was willing to break ranks with Trump and her fellow Republicans. We all know that already, of course. She's one of the three Republican senators to vote against Pete Hegseth, including McConnell and Murkowski. Collins cited Hegseth's lack of experience in his past statements about women not belonging in the military as reasons for no vote. By the way, he didn't say that they didn't belong in the military. He was talking about frontline combat roles, but that's a whole other thing. And in the end, of course, that went to J.D. Vance. So, you look at this, like Gabbard's the interesting one. We're not going to spend too much time on that right now. But like Gabbard, you look at that committee, you have Susan Collins is on the committee. With Gabbard, you have a lot of hawkish type Republicans that are not going to like Gabbard's approach on this stuff. I think Gabbard's in real trouble. I will not be surprised at all if Gabbard does not get through in this particular role. She'll probably have some role with Trump eventually, but I would not be surprised at all if this particular nomination fails. I think her odds were something like 51% right now if you look at the Kalshi markets. So, yeah, maybe not. We will see on that one. I'm kind of skeptical of that one, though, as far as getting through. I think there's going to be enough Republican opposition. She's going to need to, I think, be saved by Democrats who may not want to do that. Now, of course, RFK Jr. is another story, has better odds to probably get through. RFK Jr. running mate threatening to primary senators who vote against the nomination. She says, this is Nicole Shanahan, he's more than qualified. He's proven, principled, and prepared to lead. I'll share a list below of key senators. They represent your state. They need to hear from you. If they don't, please call your own senator and ask them to vote yes. The billionaire philanthropist added, I want to be a billionaire philanthropist. I mean, I don't really want to give away the money, though. I want to be cheap with it, basically spend it all on personal things, things that I want, and never share it with anybody. But I do want to be the billionaire part of it. That I want to get done. So we'll work on that here in the future. For today's segment here, I mean, look, I got a lot of feelings on RFK Jr. He's not my favorite guy. I've told you that before. I will say, however, there's a lot of people I really do like. Many of them work here who really like RFK Jr. Many voters of Donald Trump, a lot of my friends who just voted for Donald Trump in my personal life really like RFK Jr. And I think there are things to like. I mean, I don't think it's all negative with RFK. And I think he might do some really, really good things. If that's you, that's okay. I figured like today it might just be worth going through the criticism, what they're going to bring up in these hearings. We can kind of look at it. I think some of it are points that I kind of agree with, much of it isn't. That's kind of what you get in these hearings. I will also say watching the hearings is a complete waste of time. It's just a bunch of senators making speeches. RFK Jr., kind of steps in and tries to defend himself. And the second he gets near a good point, the Democratic senator will interrupt him because he has control of the whole thing and could just shut him down, basically. So I don't know. What do you get out of that? I'm not sure. I won't waste time with some of the stuff I've covered already. We've hit, like the pro-life stuff is really important. And I'm not saying, I mean, it's one of the most important issues to me, as you probably know. That being said, I've covered it a bunch of times. I mean, I do think there are issues when you think about how Donald Trump went in his first term and said, through the HHS, had people who were doggedly looking for things like, public funding of abortion. they uprooted a bunch of stuff that was kind of hidden in the system about that and overturned it in the first term. Joe Biden, of course, came back in and put that funding back in place. Will a guy who is obviously pro-choice be the type that is going to be doggedly searching for that? I don't know. Probably not. But, you know, that's just one level of many, many things you can bring up when it comes to RFK Jr. Is he the right guy for this role is a question we're all trying to ask, especially if you happen to be a U.S. senator tuning in. RFK Jr. says, so let's go through the, start with the mainstream left maybe leaning criticism of him. RFK Jr. says he's not anti-vaccine. His record shows the opposite. It's one of many inconsistencies. This is a quote that he was asked about several times in the hearing. It's a quote from a podcast interview where he says, quote, there's no vaccine that is safe and effective, end quote. His answer to that was basically like, look, I was in the middle of a podcast interview and I was cut off. I was going to say it's not effective for everybody. Now, of course, we'll never know if that's true. I will say his record is pretty clear that he opposes. I mean, anti-vax is a weird term. I think a lot of people get offended by it. I'm not exactly sure why you get offended by that term. It obviously has had a negative connotation to it, has this sort of conspiracy theory aura to it. But I think there are people who just don't like vaccines. Like, I don't know. I don't like salads. Am I anti-salad? Well, I have eaten several salads. You wouldn't be able to tell by looking at me. But I mean, I think you can fairly describe me as anti-salad. Not a big fan of them. You know, I mean, I don't think that's a, anti-vax is just a position. You know, I mean, I think if it's tied to some false information or something about them, that's a different thing. It doesn't necessarily mean you're against them or for them. And I think like, in any colloquial sense of the term anti-vax. I mean, RFK Jr. is anti-vax. He doesn't like them very much. Now, he has, as he pointed out, he's vaccinated his own kids. And this is another thing that was brought up in the hearing, the quote about him telling other people not to vaccinate theirs. He said, I quote, I see somebody on a hiking trail carrying a little baby, and I say to him, hey, better not get them vaccinated. I mean, look, is that anti-vax? Does that mean that he's against every single vaccine, every single time, for every single person? Yeah, maybe not. But I mean, as far as we understand the term, he should just own it, in my opinion. Yeah, you know, I don't like vaccines. So they're not my thing. Now, it's easy to be anti-vaccine and have a position of power as long as you're not forcing other people to do what you want. It's also fine to be pro-vaccine as long as you're not forcing other people to do what you want. You don't get to make the decisions for everyone else. That is what is key here, I believe. If RFK Jr. says I'm anti-vax, but allows people to take the vaccine if they want to take the vaccine, whatever vaccine it is, if they want to vaccinate their kids like he vaccinated his, they should be able to do those things. If not, if they don't want to do that, if they don't want to be involved in it, they should also be able to have that freedom. And I think that is like a really fundamental American concept that tends to be lost lately. They also, another thing they've gone after RFK Jr. is like, oh, he was a COVID skeptic. He was against everything, you know, when it comes down to COVID. And this has kind of been an interesting one because it's gone sort of both ways on the criticism, both left and right. The right is seeing this tweet and hitting him on that side. The left is saying, well, he was too critical of COVID measures. This is the quote. It's from March 30th, 2020. Coronavirus lockdown hasn't just slowed COVID-19. It reduced lethal air pollution and associated mortality. When the lockdown lifts, risks of status quo will return and will worsen, or could worsen, as governments weaken environmental regulations and pour billions into polluting industries. So he was for the lockdowns at that time. So it's kind of unfair to say he was a COVID skeptic from the very beginning or whatever, I guess. But he was very much on board for a lot of those measures. Now, he's not alone on that. A lot of people were for those measures early on. I mean, Donald Trump obviously was the guy standing on stage saying 15 days to slow the spread at the very beginning. Masks were something that, you know, Fauci was for, RFK Jr. was for, and then, it was interesting. I think RFK Jr. was for them and Fauci was against them initially, and then they totally flip-flopped on it. You know, whatever. Like, I think you can look at those early weeks, you can be critical of what people said and maybe overblow that. But they were trying to make a big deal out of that as well. Now, Caroline Kennedy is, of course, the cousin of RFK Jr., going after him I think this is just a last name thing. Like, why would we care what Caroline Kennedy thinks about RFK Jr. other than the fact that they have the same last name and they're related? I don't know. No one cared about Tim Walz's relatives who were saying, hey, Tim Walz would be a terrible vice president. The media didn't care about that at all. So, I mean, family criticism is family criticism. Caroline Kennedy, a former U.S. ambassador to both Australia and Japan, and the last living child of former President JFK, RFK's uncle, of course, called the role an enormous responsibility and one that Bobby is unqualified to fill. Kennedy wrote that she feels an obligation to speak out now that RFK Jr. has been nominated for a position that would put him in charge of the health of the American people. First of all, no. I'm stopping right there and saying this. And I have this criticism a little bit with the way we're moving with RFK Jr. generally. The job of HHS secretary is not to put you in charge of the health of the American people. No, it's not. I am in charge of the health of this American person. The government is not in charge of that. I do not want the government to make America healthy again. I want the government to stay out of my business and let me make my own choices. Now, I think there's a lot of that stuff that's aligned. A lot of it is like, well, we don't like what the left has done in the government when it comes to health, and we want to take that power away, and that will help us become healthy again. That part of it I understand and agree with. But I don't like the terminology. I don't want the government to make me anything. I don't put the government in charge of my health. No. She says, I've known Bobby my whole life. We grew up together. It's no surprise that he keeps birds of prey as pets because he is himself a predator. Again, like, this is nonsensical. She's trying to say that both, of course, with women, which he has had a bad record with, but also as far as like, oh, well, he's preying on, victims of illnesses, saying that they're vaccine related and trying to make money off of them. I think it's just a stupid criticism of RFK, honestly. I don't think he is trying to, he's saying these things because he's trying to profit. I think he really believes them. Whether he's right or wrong, I think he really believes them. And I think, I think that's a kind of a faulty brand of criticism to go after RFK Jr. Kennedy also says she watched family members follow her cousin down the path of drug addiction, shared disturbing details of his alleged behavior with animals. This is disturbing. His basement, his garage, his dorm room were the centers of the action where drugs were available, and he enjoyed showing off how he put baby chickens and mice into a blender to feed his hawks. It was a perverse scene of despair and violence. I mean, it sounds like a Saw sequel. I don't know if it actually happened or not. I'm sure he's going to be asked about it. I missed it. If it has been or happened already, surely he'll deny those claims. We will see. I mean, we'll never know. I will say there's enough weird stuff with him and animals. I don't know what that is. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Is that a reason for him to not have this job? Probably not. She also accused RFK Jr. of being addicted to attention and power. That's probably true. I mean, I think that's been consistent throughout his entire life. He preys on the desperation of parents and sick children, vaccinating his own children while building a following by hypocritically discouraging other parents from vaccinating theirs. Again, I don't know. Whether he actually believes, I think he believes the vaccine stuff. And maybe he was selective in the vaccines that he vaccinated his kids with. Maybe he didn't know about it at that time, whatever. I mean, I think if he had a kid today with whoever it might be, somehow at his age, he probably wouldn't vaccinate them, at least most of the vaccinations. That's what I would be my guess. CNN also going after him. Litany of controversial views to come under scrutiny. Expect to get tough questions from Democrats regarding his false claims, as CNN says, that vaccines cause autism, and his conspiratorial rhetoric on federal agencies and other health policies. Republicans are poised to seek committees from commitments from him over his positions on abortion rights and agriculture. That is one of the agriculture is an interesting thing. You know, we talk about the farmers and the prices of our food going up. A lot of the positions that RFK Jr. has staked out in his past would absolutely make our food costs go up. He's big on like things like organic farming. There's a place for organic farming, I believe. If you want to use it, if you want to get your food that way, that's great. We covered a little bit this yesterday in a completely unrelated story. This happened in Sri Lanka, where this stuff got put into position. They got rid of the fertilizers and pesticides because they were so evil environmentally, and they wound up, starving the people, and 20% cuts in rice output and massive cuts, hundreds of millions of dollars in export costs, and the president being thrown out of office over it. Usually when you do that stuff, it's very, very bad for an entire society. That's not to say that it might be good for you. I mean, like a lot of people really like the farmers market stuff. I like it too. There's nothing wrong with it. But when you try to put that over an entire society, it does extremely push up costs and does wind up usually ending in some sort of food shortage. In this country, maybe it's not Sri Lanka, but it would be an issue. Will he put that stuff in? My guess is, again, Trump watches him. He's not powerless here. Trump and the people around Trump can look at what RFK Jr. is doing, and if he starts going down roads like that that are really going to cause problems, he can rein him in or fire him, frankly, if he sucks. Other incendiary comments he's made in the past, such as comparing COVID-19 pandemic mandates to Nazi Germany and apartheid laws in South Africa, have faced backlash. Kennedy baselessly suggested human-made chemicals in water systems could turn children gay or transgender. Again, he's a big anti-fluoride guy. I have really no, you know, the fluoride thing, I just... whatever. I don't know. He says he's going to do something on that. We will see on that one. He's also long peddled AIDS denialism conspiracy theories, alleging that HIV does not cause AIDS and questioning the theology that HIV is the sole cause of AIDS. I feel like I'm pretty comfortable with that one myself. But Kennedy has also in the past promoted discredited theory that vaccines cause autism in children and that they're widely unsafe. Of course, he knew the vaccine stuff was coming. It was, I would say, the biggest part of the focus of the first chunk that I saw. If confirmed, Kennedy would command a budget of more than $1 trillion to regulate food and drugs, approve and recommend vaccines, and manage the health insurance programs that provide coverage to millions of Americans. And again, like, you can kind of look at this and say, well, I really like him on the food stuff. I don't like artificial coloring, I also don't agree with the COVID vaccines or whatever. There's definitely stuff you can look at with RFK Jr. and a lot of people really connect with. On the other hand, give him a $1 trillion budget is a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of different tentacles that go into your world on a daily basis when you got a trillion. It's the biggest item in our budget, basically, outside of, long-term entitlements. It's a big, big deal, this particular job. So you've got that going on as well. Now, some conservative pushback has existed as well. New York Post is out there. Senators vote no on RFK Jr., who's still a radical left lunatic hazardous to your health. Senate can save President Trump here from someone who will become a millstone around him and his agenda. There's a choice. This is a choice born of a political pact, which they are not a part. We sincerely believe Trump would live to regret Secretary Kennedy. We know the United States would. So senators, listen to Donald Trump. I mean, you go through, this is what Trump said about him. This is April of last year. So again, like, this isn't a disagreement that goes back years and years and years and years, and they've had this warming over. This was really as clear and pure a political transaction as you're ever going to see. And I, as I said on the air at the time, if I were Trump, I would have done the exact same thing. I would have said, yep, we love the guy. He's great. Let's give him a big hug. And then remember, all of this happened after he tried to get the exact same deal with Kamala Harris and failed when you're talking about RFK Jr. He went to Donald Trump. Trump was like, hell yeah, took the politics and the pragmatic choice at the moment, embraced him, embraced his movement, brought him inside. And I believe I'm the type of person that says, like, if you do something like that, you probably do owe him something. Is it this role, though? Trump wrote at the time, I lived with RFK Jr. in New York, watched him convince Governor Cuomo to make environmental moves that were all nasty. Upstate New York was not allowed to drill or frack. We know that. And now you might say, well, drilling and fracking, not really in his purview. True, though he has, the health concerns of pollution from fossil fuels have been central to this guy's life. So he will have power there. I just assume Trump is going to kind of come in and stop him from using it. I'd even take Biden. He even said I'd take Biden over RFK Jr. because our country would last a year or two longer prior to collapse, which is just a funny line. Called him a radical left lunatic, which he is, by the way. He is a radical left lunatic. That is, Trump was right in April. The question is, can you manage him and keep him in that bubble and keep him exactly on those tracks? And then maybe this works out. Wall Street Journal also hitting him, RFK Jr., dangerous to public health. The risk is high that Kennedy will use his power and pulpit to entrench his trial lawyer friends at the expense of public health and medical innovation. It's telling that Mr. Kennedy hasn't agreed to stop taking payments from these allies. In the Gardasil lawsuit, senators would be wise to believe RFK Jr.'s career of spreading falsehoods rather than his confirmation conversations. And I will say that's kind of what I took when watching it. He's trying to present this the best way possible. He has been a radical. There's no doubt about it. His case is kind of, in a way, to conservatives, sure, I was crazy before, but I've had a transition through the COVID period. And look, what happened to RFK Jr. as far as censorship and everything else could kind of change anybody, I think, through that period. I think, you know, almost like taking a bullet on stage in Pennsylvania might change you, as it did, I think, with Donald Trump in some ways. It, going through what RFK Jr. went through and kind of seeing the government apparatus that he praised for decades, that he advocated for its use in ways of accusing both Glenn Beck, my next guest, and Rush Limbaugh of treason. And I mean, those type of instincts he's had forever. You have to have a big transition to even be considered by the right after a history like that. But he does believe that's the way to go. So we will see if that's true. Also, we have the Manhattan Institute writing about Osama, the pigs, and the Kennedy, where they have this quote from another one that might come up from the right. Quote, large-scale hog producers are a greater threat in the United States and the U.S. democracy than Osama bin Laden and his terrorist network. That being said, that's all the criticism. You can go through that and you can kind of take what you want. Couple other things. Quick positive here from his hearing today, because my concern with him is, does he try to implement a lot of the stuff that he believes? I don't care if he's right or wrong. Frankly, I don't care about what anything the government says as far as recommendations on my life. I'm going to live it how I want to live it. What I don't want are him to force us to do things. RFK did say today, quote, if you like a McDonald's cheeseburger and a Diet Coke, which my boss loves, you should be able to get them. And if that's his attitude going into this, it's going to be great. It's going to be fine. I'm not going to be worried about it at all. I do have concerns, for sure. And I, you know, my question kind of revolves back to the question of, we're not choosing between RFK Jr. and Hillary Clinton or Anthony Fauci as your HHS secretary. The question is, could we do better on the right? As conservatives, could we do better than a guy who's been a long-term leftist? I think we could, frankly. I think we could do better than RFK Jr. That being said, he's the choice right now. And if he gets through, which I think there's a 74% chance, if you believe the Kalshi markets, that he will get through, you know, you got to do the best that you can. So what does that mean? The McDonald's tweet, I think, is a positive one, right? I think that if he can embrace those things and say, you know what, I'm going to let go of a lot of the stuff I've said over my years, maybe go with a lot of stuff that I don't agree with and I'm uncomfortable with. If he could do that and stay on a very narrow path, and, you know, take the government out of your life, it could be really positive. The question is, do you trust him? And, you know, I think the answer to that is, from my perspective, I will tell you straight out, the answer to that is no, I do not trust him. That being said, there's ways to get around that. And I think what you need to do is, Donald Trump, if he does get through the Senate, is to really have a person, a task force, a group of people who will act as RFK Jr. watchdogs in positions that are of importance to allow Donald Trump to become president, remain president, do the job as president without being sidetracked on whatever RFK Jr. is doing. You need people to watch, you need a watchdog group to sit there and focus on every single little thing RFK Jr. is doing and looking for him to step off track. If he does go off track, you need to be able to step in and say, hey, Mr. President, this is what he's doing right now. We got to stop this. And if he continues to do things that go off track of what the very narrow path that Donald Trump wants him to manage, then you need to just get rid of him. But you can do that. He serves at the president's appointment, and he can be removed at any time. So there's a path there. I guess the path is could be difficult at times because of all the other stuff they're going to have going on. But the path is clear, which is simply, if RFK Jr. gets into office, the path quite clearly is trust, but verify. The LA fires were just terrible. I mean, the size of San Francisco burned to the ground, at least 25 people dead. 400,000 people have been left without power, 180,000 forced to evacuate with really no time to get necessities. You maybe grabbed a couple pictures, maybe grab some clothes, you grab your kids, your pets, you run off, and then you get to that hotel room and you're thinking to yourself, okay, number one, I can get food at a restaurant. I can get, you know, drink from the soda machine down the hall. But what I can't get are my medications. My pharmacy burned to the ground. What am I going to do? This is, you know, just one example of many, many examples, whether it's, supply chain type stuff, or if it's something like a natural disaster. You need your medication in moments where the times are tough. And the Jace case offers these medications, it offers you peace of mind. It's a personalized emergency kit that contains essential medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. Just fill out a simple form online and you'll have it in case you need it. They even have ivermectin as an add-on if you'd like it. Jace.com is the place to go. Jace.com. The code is STU10. Get a checkout. When you're checking out, you get a discount on your order. Promo code is STU10, STU10, at Jace.com. JASE.com. It's Jace.com.
Für alle ein Fest zum Aldi-Tiefpreis. Diese Woche Gourmet-Raclette-Käse 200 Gramm für nur 1,99 Euro. Oder Gourmet-gefüllter Weichkäse ab 190 Gramm für nur 2,79 Euro. Entdecke viele weitere festliche Angebote jetzt bei Aldi Nord. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
I'm joined once again by Glenn Beck. He has a brand new special coming up at 9 p.m. Eastern. Tonight, it is WEF's terrifying plan to revive the Great Reset exposed. Be sure to stay tuned for that. Glenn, how's it going?
Good. It's all about AI.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's all about AI.
Well, now you've given away. You said, what I was worried, like, what's the thing? What's the plan? And you're saying
AI.
It's just AI.
Yeah. No, but it's not just, I just did an interview that we're going to play pieces of. The whole interview will be available for Blaze TV subscribers. But it was with Jeff Brown. You know Jeff. He is
big tech guy.
Big tech guy, yeah. Big investment guy, watches trends. And he's a guy who said that he thought AI might happen as early as 2030. That was 5 years ago. We talked about it. I said 2030, and he was like, I could see that happening.
Artificial super intelligence.
And most people were saying, if ever, 2050. Okay. I just talked to him. He said, AGI, we're already starting to see signs of it. He said, we will have AGI by the end of this year.
Artificial general intelligence.
Yes. And by 2027 or 28, we will have ASI.
Wow.
I said, what does that mean to the average person? What is 2030 like? He said, 2030, we will not be able to understand or comprehend many of the things that are happening. That leads you right to transhumanism. I mean,
we will not be able to understand.
It is going to be so fast. And we're, you know, he was talking about, first of all, he said, we talked about Stargate. And I said, can we trust the guys behind Stargate? All those people that were standing behind, you know, Trump, you know, Zuckerberg and Bezos. And he said, absolutely not. And I said, okay, well there. And he said, I actually think XAI is where it's going to happen. He said, I think Elon Musk, yeah, he said his latest, he said he thinks he'll come out in the next 6 months and it will be doing some amazing things, he thinks. And that would be really good because he said the only guy that I trust with it at this point is a guy who's proven himself on freedom of speech.
Yes, that's true.
But he said that by 2030, we will unleash to say, do your own experiments. We want free energy. We want cheap energy. We want this solved. We don't want cancer. We want a metal alloy that could stand, you know, 10,000 degrees and this kind of pressure. And he said, you know, within a few minutes, you'll have that answer. He said, and we will be doing things that we won't even understand how it works until we do it.
What would the ramifications be for, you know, the Chinese military, for example, if they have an alloy that
That's why he said, we have to win. We have to win.
But even if we win, it's, you know, we're seeing this with DeepSeek this week, right? Where It's hard to know exactly what's happened here. Either they've just come up with some incredible solution, or what's seemingly more likely, they just got these chips anyway, even though we tried to prevent
them. Yeah, and it's not, I talked to him about that. Hopefully we'll have time for that, a little bit of that on the show. But he said, what was so amazing is they claim that it was only $5 million to build DeepSeek, and that they built it in record time and yada, yada. He said, I don't believe any of that.
Yeah.
He said they stole different things. He said, in the last 72 hours, we're starting to, you know, find out what really is behind it. He said it's not as impressive as they said, and he said I don't believe that they did that. He said, but to get to where we need to go, we will need one very large nuclear power plant just to run the servers for ASI.
Wow. And so answer me dumb questions here. Like ASI, is that a singular thing? Is it everyone's got their own ASI eventually?
You will have access. The first thing that will happen is AI agents. And that will start to go in.
And you're hearing this in like advertising now.
Yeah,
you're saying you could get your own AI agent.
Okay. We're not there yet. We're there where they can do one task. Mm-hmm. But when you get an AGI, an artificial general intelligence agent, it will be able to, you could say, hey, what's the best way to spend my day today? And it will tell you, hey, I don't want to do any of these things. Can you get me out of them? Hey, I want to go, you know, to New York, but I only have this amount of money. Can you book that? And within 20 seconds, it will be booked.
Okay. Not a recommendation, not a link.
Not a recommendation. It will do it. It will be able to call human to human or artificial voice to human and have a real conversation. Hey, my boss has an appointment today, but something has come up, and can we reschedule? He's open these days, and you will not know on the other end. That's not a human.
And you might not even be talking to a human. It might be AI talking to AI.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So that is just the beginning. That will happen by the end of 25, beginnings of 26. You will have that. Okay.
It's fascinating. I was listening to an interview with, I think it was the New York Times, like lead tech reporter. And, you know, I like to, you know, I want to hear not just what we talk about, but like, you know, what's going on in the mainstream and what's going on all over the place. And what I thought was fascinating, they asked him, you know, what do you think, what do people in the industry think the future of AI is? And he's like, it's really mixed. You have some people who think it's, you know, we're going to have development over some sort of linear pathway and, you know, it could happen. Mm-hmm. He said, I have other people who I've talked to who are in this industry who have stopped saving for retirement because they're completely convinced money will have no value whatsoever in a few years because of this. I was like, that is a personal decision. If that's true, they're that sure of this? I mean, like, these are the types of changes we're talking about? Like, money is no longer a
I don't know how it's all going to shake out, but money is money and jobs. Now, I talked to him about this, about jobs, and he said, by 2026, you're going to start to see real job shedding. He said, but I think they're going to be replaced with other jobs. He's more optimistic on the job front. However, the real problem is you're going to concentrate power and money with just a very few. If Bezos gets this, Bezos will be a multi-trillionaire, and you'll be doing everything through Amazon, okay? That's an awful lot of power to concentrate. You won't have ASI. You may have access on certain levels for ASI, but the average person won't be able to access it for anything deep because just like nuclear weapons, you can't get plutonium. You can't get plans to build a nuclear bomb, okay?
Right.
And there are certain things, you know, cascade, I can't remember, but the equipment to enrich the uranium, you can't buy that either. It's all regulated.
Yeah.
So AI, that information is going to be like that.
Yeah.
You won't be able to access, but those at the top will.
So it's centralized in a way. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily with our country if we don't watch where we're going.
It is more imperative right now that we vote really bad people out. Because the decisions that are coming in the next 4 years are going to be either working to corral us or to free us. And I don't think anybody on Capitol Hill, maybe Thomas Massie, I don't think anybody really understands what's coming. I said to Jeff, I said, how do you even explain this to people? Because they don't.
Yeah,
I've been reading this for 30 years, mm-hmm. And I cannot believe, Stu, we are going to be alive and see the birth of a man-made God.
That doesn't sound good at all.
It doesn't sound good, but no. we're going to witness it. Mankind is on the threshold of things that are beyond, literally beyond any human comprehension. Dream it, and it will find a way to do it.
Wow. This is going to be an incredible, incredible time.
This next year, the Trump term is going to be remarkable. This 4 years, not just because of Trump, but because of tech, these 4 years are going to be studied by historians or an AI agent historian forever. Mm.
If only we had Kamala Harris to be in control of it. I mean, can you imagine? Dodging a bullet is an appropriate way to put it in this particular context.
This is why the big Silicon Valley people all got on board with Donald Trump. Mm. Because Biden said, you're not going to control any of it. We will have it. And they got freaked out. Like, wait a minute, the government will have this and we, the designers, won't have anything? No. And they got freaked out by that. Mm. So now let's hope that they feel the same way about the average person. Yeah. You know, OpenAI is great because it's open. Anyone can create it if you have the power and the server farm. Anyone can access it. It's all open. But the minute that starts to clamp down, and it will with AGI and ASI, things change. And you better have good people that understand freedom defending you.
And Elon would say OpenAI has already abandoned their open part of their name. Last one before you go. If you were to put into artificial superintelligence a question to make the perfect dessert, they might come up with something called the cake shake. Have you had the cake shake?
No, but you had me at cake shake.
Yes.
You don't really even need to explain it for me to be interested.
It is at Portillo's, you know, famous Chicago hot dog type place.
Okay.
And they have a cake shake, and it is, they put an entire piece of cake blended in a shake.
Okay. I am, you know how much I love doing this show.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, you're a big fan.
But the only thing that can make it better is next week, cake shakes.
Cake shakes. Yes. We're going to make that happen.
Yes.
Cake shakes on the show next week. Don't miss it.
Very low goals.
Very low. Unfortunately, we did say we would be alive for this ASI and AGI stuff. Actually, if we have a cake shake we might not make it, just so you know.
It might be worth it.
Glenn Beck, a new special coming up tonight. Don't miss it. It's a big one. 9 p.m. Eastern. It's called WEF's Terrifying Plan to Revive the Great Reset Exposed. As always, stay tuned with Blaze TV. If you go to StuDoesAmerica.com, you can enter the code Stu and you'll get access to Blaze TV for $20 off right now. Glenn, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
So we told you about the spending freeze over the past couple of days that Trump had tried to implement and had court challenges going on. And now, as of today, Trump has reversed course. He is rescinding the freeze on federal grants. And, you know, it's interesting. If you go back to the first term of Donald Trump, there was sort of an amateurish feel to the very beginning of it. If you remember, a lot of stuff kind of was like put into place and then removed, and it felt chaotic at times. You know, Steve Bannon was kind of put this stuff into play a lot, and a lot of it didn't work out legally. And you know, caused bad news stories, bad news cycles. And a lot of it just wasn't necessary. Like, a little bit more planning would have, I think, made it okay. But, you know, you think about the way that they went into office. No one really kind of thought this was going to happen. It was a surprise win for Hillary Clinton. Even behind the scenes reporting has, you know, told the story that they were very skeptical of their own chances in 2016. Not the case here, right? And so what's interesting about this is they've done a lot, a ton of executive orders, a ton of different things over the past week or two. And, you know, you have to be kind of blown away, whether you like the policies or not, as to how buttoned up it's all been. I mean, I think it's been really, really well done. And they've had very few problems with most of the stuff they've attempted. This is the first thing that feels a little bit like that first term. Like, it just feels like it was worded poorly. You know, quick example of this. They said no funding for you know, Social Security, Medicare, and then left it. And it's like Medicaid is always the next thing that's in that, you know, those three, that little grouping of words. And so they didn't know if Medicaid was going to go through. There was problems with the computer systems. You know, people who were running, you know, nonprofits were like, hey, wait a minute, am I going to be able to get any of the things that we need? Am I going to be able to make payroll this week? It just caused a bunch of chaos for no real reason. And so, you know, if you would have said it's happening in a month, it would have been a lot more smooth, I think. But the way it happened and kind of rolled out was a little clunky. They've now rescinded it. We will see where that goes. Also, Trump offering federal worker buyouts within with about 8 months' pay. The idea going, hey, go to 2 million different employees, say, you should just drop out. Drop out now, take 8 months' pay, we'll see you later. This will probably clear out a lot of his political opponents who are in jobs that they don't want to do anymore because the direction has changed so much. But also will help cut government because you just don't rehire people after that. It's right out of the playbook of Doge / Twitter, right? Like Elon Musk did this at Twitter, worked out fine. Same thing they're going to attempt here. There are some legal challenges to that as well. There is a clause in the Homeland Security Act that allows you for $25,000 basically to pay employees if that you want to get them to resign for cost-cutting measures. However, a lot of the eight-month time period would go above that $25,000. So there's some legal questions as to how much they can actually do for these people. But you know it'll be challenged, as almost all these things will. The question is what happens in the court system as we go forward. But like a good step into maybe eliminating some of these jobs, some of the costs on us. They think it could save about $100 billion a year. So how far will a teacher go to save a kid on the brink of losing everything? From Angel Studios, the studio behind Sound of Freedom, comes Brave the Dark. It's an inspiring true story about a troubled teen struggling to survive in a world that's let him down. Haunted by torturous childhood memories, Nate Williams finds himself engulfed in darkness. And when a drama teacher, Mr. Dean, bails him out of jail, takes him in, Nate's got to confront his past before it leads to his own destruction. Glenn saw this movie, absolutely loved it. It's called Brave the Dark, and it reminds us that a meaningful connection can change everything. Powerful film that will leave you uplifted and inspired, and it shows the great strength of compassion and the impact of giving someone a chance. Go check it out. It's called Brave the Dark. It's in theaters right now. It's kind of part of this parallel Hollywood that is being built, which is really, really impressive. Angel's done some great, great work. And it's another great piece to that puzzle. Get your tickets today at angel.com/Jew. Angel.com/Jew. The movie is Brave the Dark. Get your tickets at angel.com/Stew. Let me give you a last story here. It's a story that's a little uncomfortable because we've had a lot of political violence lately. I don't know if you noticed, the president almost got killed multiple times as he was campaigning for that role. There's another assassination attempt. This one, though, I feel a little bit less worried about because this one was going after people like Pete Hegseth and Scott Bessent and I think Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House. And you know, some of these seem serious, some of them don't. This one, they arrested the guy. He turned himself in to Capitol Police near the south door when he realized he couldn't get it close to these figures, which is kind of a weird move. Like, usually if you're going to assassinate someone, you can't get close to them, you just leave. He turned himself in, and they found him with a folding knife. You'd have to get really close for that one, but also some Molotov cocktails. So that's how it's being promoted everywhere. Capitol Police arrest man with Molotov cocktails. When you read the story, the Molotov cocktails he was carrying with him were legitimately these bottles. Can you see that? It's like the little airplane bottles, like I don't know what would happen with a Molotov cocktail made out of airplane bottles and a little cloth coming up. It's like you're trying to kill an army of mice. I don't know. So I'm not too concerned about that one. I think we can go along with our day.